Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, August the 14th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sithandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police launches a countrywide crackdown on land barons who are said to be behind the illegal massive parceling out of land to desperate home seekers.
And we are going to be working closely together with City of Harare and local government to ensure these land barons, once they are arrested, their dockets are processed and they are taken to court.
First Lady Grace Mugabe relaunches her verbal attacks on former Vice President Joyce Mujuru for problems afflicting ZANU-PF and also takes aim at MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai and non-governmental organizations.
After dismissing two Gweru MDCT councillors last week, local government minister Sylvia Kasukwere today suspended the remaining 13 councillors from the Midlands local authority.
The killing of Cecil the Lion has attracted great public attention. It's attracted a lot of passionate debate. We expect the Zimbabwean authorities to take the necessary action in accordance with national laws.
These and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police today launched a countrywide crackdown on land barons who are said to be behind the massive parceling out of land to desperate home seekers and the illegal construction of structures in the Zimbabwe towns and cities. Ivan Chifera reports from the capital.
In a joint press conference with acting Harare City Town Clerk Josephine Ncube, National Police Spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Charity Charamba said, police have set up a special unit to deal with land barons. The team will first concentrate on Harare before moving to other towns and cities. Most of the land barons are linked to the ruling ZANU-PF party.
We've put in place a special team that is going to deal with these land barons. And we have been in discussions with the city of Harare, and we are going to be working closely together with city of Harare and local government to ensure these land barons, once they are arrested, their dockets are processed and they are taken to court.
Senior Assistant Commissioner Charamba said those whose houses have been destroyed and others who were allocated land on undesignated sites must approach the police with documentary evidence, such as receipts for the money they pay to the land barons or illegal cooperatives, so that the police can use it to arrest and prosecute the culprits. She said the exercise will target land barons, council and government officials involved in the illegal parceling of land.
We are advising members of the public that the police will arrest all those who defrauded members of the public for personal gain. All corrupt officials who were involved will also be arrested for abuse of office. And here I'm referring to all officials either from local government or from city of Harare. Police will also assist members of the public to recover all the money that was stolen from unsuspecting home seekers.
She said some arrests have been made, but could not say how many have been nabbed so far. Acting Harare Town Clerk Josephine Ncube said council had engaged the police after residents and illegal land developers failed to heed council instructions to stop illegal developments.
The city of Harare has not just been sitting idly whilst people have been constructing homes in undesignated land. Our development control unit has been issuing orders to everybody. We've had public advertisements from as far back as 2013 where we've asked people to stop any construction and to approach us as the city of Harare for the proper allocation of land. But in the majority of cases, people have disregarded those warnings and they've continued with construction and also with new land occupations.
She refused to disclose the number of houses that would be pulled down, but said council had done audits on all illegal structures in the city. Ncube added that all developments done without consent of council would be pulled down. Residents, she added, must consult local authorities before embarking on any housing development. Combined Harare Residents Association Director Mfundo Mulilo said it was illegal for council to destroy illegally constructed houses without a court order. He, however, welcomed police investigations into the illegal lands allocations.
Commissioner, we support the idea that the police must investigate the issue of land ownership management and this investigation, so we support that. But in the meantime, these demolitions must stop because they are being done outside the law.
He added that his organization had written to Police Commissioner General Chiwuri asking him to stop the demolitions during the investigations. More than 100 CRA members have lost their houses and property in the ongoing demolitions. In the past few years, thousands of urban dwellers seeking residential stands were hoodwinked into parting with their hard-earned money by unscrupulous individuals who hid behind politics to illegally allocate lands around the Harare townships, creating chaotic settlements in Chitungwiza, for example, with some people even constructing underpower pylons. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of World Fauna and Flora, or CITES, says Zimbabwe is expected to use its laws to address the killing of the famous Cecil the Lion by an American professional hunter, Walter Palmer. CITES Secretary General John Scanlon says African lions like Cecil are not yet threatened with extinction, though uncontrolled trade in their products could lead to their demise. Scanlon says trade in these lions is strictly regulated and attempts were made in the last CITES convention to list them as endangered species. He tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube another attempt to regulate trade in lions is likely to be made when CITES holds its next meeting in Johannesburg, South Africa next year.
Well, the killing of Cecil the Lion has attracted great public attention. It's attracted a lot of passionate debate. The issue of the legality or illegality of the killing of that lion is a matter for the authorities in Zimbabwe to take account of. The media reports that I've read, and I haven't had a chance to look at it beyond that, suggest that the Zimbabwe authorities say this was an illegal kill of the lion known by the name Cecil, and we expect the Zimbabwean authorities to take the necessary action in accordance with national laws.
So looking at lions, you know, worldwide, how does CITES, you know, consider them? Are they an endangered species or they can just be killed?
Under CITES, we have three appendices, and there are two appendices that are of relevance here. We have Appendix 1, and Appendix 1 sets out those species that are already threatened with extinction, and for those species, there is no commercial trade, and that includes about 3% or less than 1,000 of the species that are listed under CITES. The Asian lion is on Appendix 1. Appendix 2 includes those species that are not yet necessarily threatened with extinction, but they could become threatened if you don't strictly regulate their trade. And the African lion is on Appendix 2, which means it can be traded internationally, subject to meeting the strict regulatory requirements of CITES. There have been proposals in the past to uplist the African lion to Appendix 1, but they haven't succeeded. But the African lion is also subject to a periodic review at the moment through our Animals Committee, which is looking at where lions fit in the schemes of the hierarchy of listings under CITES. The next opportunity will be September 2016, Johannesburg, South Africa, to consider any proposals that may come forward in relation to not only the African lion, should a country propose to look at whether it should be uplisted, or any other species, including species that are not yet listed under CITES.
That was John Scanlon, Secretary General of the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of World Fauna and Flora, or CITES, speaking with Studio 7 from Geneva, Switzerland. Zimbabwe says it wants the U.S. to extradite Palmer to the country for prosecution over the killing of the lion, which was popular among tourists. It was a part of a research being conducted by Oxford University.
Yeah. Labor lawyers have warned companies that they risk court action for firing workers, even those on suspension, using the recent Supreme Court ruling that has seen more than 20,000 workers losing their jobs in the past few weeks. Already, mobile giant Econet and Steward Bank have been taken to court by workers challenging their dismissal. Efforts to get a comment from Econet and Steward Bank lawyer Tawanda Nyambirai were futile as his mobile phone went unanswered. But the lawyer representing the workers, Munyaradze Kwisai, told Studio 7 that papers have been filed in the Constitutional Court.
So we have filed an application in the name of the BAU and the contract employees on the ground that the petroleum vessel Zula decision was used applying principles of law that were done before the adoption of the new constitution. When Nyamande and his colleague were dismissed, it was under the old constitution. But the new constitution now gives workers the right to collective bargaining, the right to organize, the right to trade unionism. And on the basis of that, we are arguing that an employer cannot just dismiss employees or notice without giving the employees valid reasons, and as well as in a manner that does not violate their rights to trade unionism and the rights to collective bargaining. And we are saying this is what happened in the case. So we filed our papers, and the employer has indicated that it's going to occur.
Is there a date set for this hearing?
Not yet. What will happen is that the employer has 10 days to do not respond. And then after that, the matter will be set down.
That was lawyer Munyaradze Kwisai of Kwisai & Partners speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Clerk of Parliament, Kenneth Chokuda, told the Herald newspaper that Parliament will tomorrow gazette the Labour Amendment Bill to stop the ongoing sacking of workers. But ZANU-PF and opposition members of Parliament say they had not been officially informed about the proposed amendment. Chairperson of the Parliamentary Labour Committee and ZANU-PF MP, Betha Chikwama, told Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that they stand ready to return to Parliament if called to discuss the bill.
Not yet, but we are going to be given when terms come. When they need us, they will call us and we will be given those papers.
So far, there is no communication from government?
Not yet, but on papers, they are saying that we are going to call for Parliament to be break. So if they call us, we are going to see all those bills, some changes which are going to be done.
The chairperson of the Parliamentary Labour Committee and ZANU-PF Member of Parliament, Betha Chikwama, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gutu.
Opposition MTCT legislator Pauline Mbariwa Kwanyanya, a former Labour minister and Labour committee member, tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that her party has not been informed about the gazetting of the bill.
Yes, we have read it in the paper, we have read it on the radio, but practically, because at the moment Parliament is on recess, and we have not been officially informed as to whether the bill will be ready for parliamentarians or it is actually the institution which is supposed to do it before the parliamentarians actually can say anything.
But have you seen a copy of the proposed amendments?
Not yet, because we adjourned on Tuesday last week after the debate on the proposed financial increases from Honourable Shimama Asa. That was the last business we discussed in Parliament.
That was former Labour Minister and MTC legislator Pauline Mbariwa Kwanyanya on the line from Harare.
A local government minister, Sevia Kasukwere, today suspended the remaining MDCT Gweru councillors after sacking two of the 15-member council last week, charging the councillors were, among other things, incompetent. But the opposition MDCT says Kasukwere's actions are unconstitutional, saying the minister cannot dismiss and or suspend any elected local government official from office. Attorney Brian Dube, representing the councillors, says he will pursue all available legal options to ensure reversal of Kasukwere's actions.
Our councillors have received suspension letters this afternoon from Minister Kasukwere over allegations of mismanagement and incompetence.
When he says mismanagement and incompetence, what is he really talking about? What has the council failed to do that has not made Mr. Kasukwere happy?
There is no clarity on that because there is no report which explains how he came up with that decision. But all we know as a matter of fact and politics is that they just pursuing their agenda to subvert the will of the people in the Midlands province who voted the MPCP, and also to cover up for their corruption because our councillors have been resisting some kind of attempt to loot land for purposes of beneficiation of their supporters for purposes of 2018. So our councillors have been resisting that and also resisting a lot of other corrupt attempts from ZANU-PF. His only option has been now to do away with them by suspending them.
So what course of action are you going to take as their lawyer representing these councillors and the mayor?
We are going to approach both the Constitutional Court and the Administrative Court for purposes of recourse. Because we believe the Kasukwere does not have the powers that we exercise in terms of the current Constitutional Court. He has no powers to do so. There must be an independent tribunal which must deal with those issues and not that Kasukwere himself. And he is not a qualified person to talk about competence.
That was Attorney Brian Dewe representing fired and suspended Gweru MDCT councillors.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a close look at the demolition of houses the Harare City Council says are illegally in the city.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
China devalued its currency for a third consecutive day while global markets recovered after Beijing signaled it would not continue the devaluation much further.
Prosecutors in Sweden say they have ended the investigation of allegations of sexual misconduct against WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange because the deadline to bring charges has expired.
And the president of Guinea-Bissau, José Mário Vaz, has dismissed his government as a result of a rift with Prime Minister Domingos Simoes Pereira.
First Lady Grace Mugabe today relaunched her verbal attacks on former Vice President Joyce Mujuru for problems afflicting the ruling ZANU-PF party and criticized former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai and non-governmental organizations at a rally in Binga. Thomas Chiripasi has more details.
Addressing thousands of ZANU-PF supporters at a rally in Binga today, First Lady Grace Mugabe, who is also the ruling party's Women's League secretary, accused the former Vice President Joyce Mujuru of creating the factionalism that is now rife in ZANU-PF and labeled her a beetle. Without giving any details, the First Lady said factionalism was re-emerging in ZANU-PF after the Revolutionary Party's Congress held in December last year.
If you want to go it alone and take your own political route, you will be lost forever. Even civil servants know the regulations that when you are fired, you have been fired and that's it. I'm not afraid of anyone but God. I said it long back that you should apologize. But some people pretend they are ignorant, they are fools. We come here time and again after every 5 years looking for your votes, but we don't want any factionalism. Every time that we will be preoccupied with factionalism, we will not have time to work for the people. Now factionalism is beginning to show signs of reemerging, and there are people who want to tarnish the image of leadership. To them, stop it.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from Mrs. Mujuru as she was not answering her phone. Prior to the ZANU-PF Congress, the First Lady launched a series of attacks on Mujuru, accusing her of being corrupt and plotting to topple her husband from power, charges that the former deputy president has denied. Mrs. Mugabe also told her supporters that MDC founding president Morgan Tsvangirai was a power-hungry politician who should wait for his turn to lead the country. She said her husband, President Robert Mugabe, was a God-given leader who should rule Zimbabwe in perpetuity.
From 2013 to 2018, you cannot sleep. You are busy looking for people to campaign for you. You are spending several nights looking for sangomas so that you may lead.
Responding, Mr. Tsvangirai told Studio 7 exclusively that Mr. Mugabe was determined to rule Zimbabwe for as long as he lives and taking the country down the drain in the process. The opposition leader is urging Zimbabweans to mobilize against Mr. Mugabe's continued leadership.
Mugabe has become now the liability not only to his party but also to the whole country. It's almost like an albatross. The country cannot move. So it's almost like holding the whole country to ransom. And for me, if he were to decide to contest again, forget about economic recovery. Because we know the kind of man he is. He's not going to reverse his thinking. In fact, as he grows older, it's almost like he's in an intransigent position. So who, in fact, if you ask even some of the so-called friends, like Russians and the Chinese, the reason why they're not going to put money in this country is too high risk. Because of his age. Because they say beyond... How do we invest in a 91-year-old? Unless you tell us the succession and who is going to be the next president, we cannot invest in a 91-year-old person. So he becomes the albatross to the country's potential.
Mrs. Mugabe, who took the opportunity to give food handouts to the people of Binga, accused non-governmental organizations of not assisting needy people who have no access to food, saying they only become concerned during election times.
Our children think that NGOs are a good thing. NGOs are owned by white people. What the NGOs want is that the people who live here in Binga should remain living in abject poverty so that they can bring handouts to you. If you see anyone knocking on your doors all the time, that person does not like you.
However, Studio 7 failed to get a comment from the director of the National Association of NGOs, ONANGO, Sifas Zinunwe, who was said to be in a meeting. As the 2018 elections draw near, Mrs. Mugabe appealed for the people of Binga to vote for ZANU-PF, saying they will not get anything from the opposition. Since the formation of the MDC in 1999, ZANU-PF has never won a parliamentary seat in Binga. The First Lady said ZANU-PF was failing to deliver economically because of sanctions imposed by the West on President Mugabe and his inner circle. But the opposition claims Mr. Mugabe and his party have run out of ideas to run the country and revive its economy. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
As reported earlier, residents are worried by the ongoing demolition of structures the city council says were constructed illegally. For perspective on the housing demolitions, Tatenda Gumbo turned to Southerton, Rugare and Lokenva councillor Peter Moyo and combined Harare Residents Association chairperson Simbarashe Moyo, who spoke on behalf of the Harare Metropolitan Residents Forum that met today with affected residents in Budiriro. Moyo says the demolitions by the council have left residents devastated.
We're actually shocked to hear the news that the city of Harare had embarked on a hopeless with residents, demolishing their houses. Actually, in total, the city of Harare has demolished 100 housing units in Budiriro as we are speaking now. So I actually went there yesterday to inspect the extent of the damage. I was really, traumatized by what I saw, because when I arrived there, it was around 7 in the evening, and it was a bit chilly. You are really not yet out of the winter season. I was really traumatized to see kids in the open, kids who actually had to sleep in the open because their shelter had been demolished. So that is actually what prompted us to go there today again as the whole team of Harare Metropolitan Residents Forum. And that's when we also had a meeting with the residents, trying to find some kind of way forward, trying to assist these residents who have been affected by the demolition.
Councillor Moyo, if you can come in there and tell us what is going on the ground when it comes to the demolitions of these illegal structures.
First and foremost, this is the politics at play. And those people who invaded those open spaces were given by the land barons. These land barons belong to ZANU-PF, and they are well-known land barons. They sold these pieces of land to the desperate home seekers. But the council gets notice to say, guys, what you are doing is illegal. Can that stop? And that notice was ignored by the people and by those land barons. They had the backing of some political gurus. But it is very unfortunate and regrettable that we are now taking the route that we are taking. Because the government now has realized the damage. The people who were settled on those open spaces are endangering themselves. Why? Because some of those people that are in the line of Zesa, some are on top of sewer system, some are on top of water system, and we are saying, okay, fine, those houses were built illegal. We are now regularizing some of them, not all of them, because we cannot just leave everything to say, we will leave everything and regularize. Yet we know there is a danger tomorrow on these people. So as the council, we have taken it upon ourselves through the Ministry of Local Government to say, okay, we will regularize where we can. Where we cannot, we are not going to regularize. But the only option that is left to us is to demolish those illegal structures. But some of them definitely we will regularize.
Coming back to you, Mr. Simbarashe Moyo, what Councillor Moyo is saying here, that there are politics at play and that residents have been notified or were notified of these illegal structures, why were people still moving forward with building or securing even land to build their homes?
I'm not really sure if the people were actually notified of the looming demolitions, because when I got there, the letters that I saw, that they do not look like letters coming from the city of Harare. There is no logo on the letter. The letters are not even signed. What is only clear is the message that people must just vacate the premises that they have constructed. So to me, it simply shows that there is a lot at play here. There is a lot of politicking, but the unfortunate thing is that people are politicking with the people's lives. People are politicking with the people's right to shelter, which is actually in the Constitution.
That was Combined Harare Residents Association Chairperson Simbarashe Moyo. You also heard the views of Harare South Attorney Rugare and Lokenva Councillor Peter Moyo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host of the Women's Roundtable will discuss the impact of the ongoing job losses on women.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Now, to recap today's top stories.
The Zimbabwe Republic Police launches a countrywide crackdown on land barons who are said to be behind the illegal massive parceling out of land to desperate home seekers.
First Lady Grace Mugabe relaunches her verbal attack on former Vice President Joyce Mujuru for problems afflicting ZANU-PF, and also takes aim at MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai and non-governmental organizations.
After dismissing two Gweru MDCT councillors last week, local government minister Xavier Kasukwere today suspended the remaining 13 councillors from the Midlands local authority.
That's our broadcasting this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Sitandikile Mhlanga, leaving you with Ntungamilinkomo.